ولم يؤمر بقتله. They have not said kill them. The hadith say fight them. It did not say kill them. It says wala tiba'ihi, and it did not say start looking for them, start finding them, start running after them. He didn't say that. He fight them, but he didn't say kill them. He says wala yujizu alayhi in suri'a, and it is not permissible for him to come up upon him if he falls. Maybe in the prophet is running away, he falls. Don't come and grab him there. Aw kana jarihan, or he's injured. He's going with his injury. Say, oh, look for him, follow him. It's not your duty. The Sharia does not ask you that. The danger about things like this is, if that kind of a thing happens, perhaps in the process of running after him, the person is killed. His ruling is different from the ruling of the one who is killed trying to defend his life. Do we understand? He said, alayhi salatu was salam, that the one who fights defending his property and he dies in the process is shaheed. But in the Sharia, you are not to follow such persons. So the person is injured or he falls unconscious. He said, don't go and start attacking him on the ground. He says it's not your duty to do so. It is the people in authority that has the right. Except, again, also, if the people in authority give the people the power to do so, that's another thing. The people can select, the government can select the people and say, this is security. Do this job for us. Then it becomes their job. Do you understand? But now in that case, they are not acting as individuals on their own, but they are acting as people who are dispatching the order of a constituted authority. Do you understand? So that's something. So if the person fights that kind of a person, injures him, and the person in the process of running away, you start now pursuing him on your own. As an individual, you start pursuing him. Perhaps he has a dagger on him and he stones you the dagger and it hits you and you die. This is not your ruling, no. The ruling does not apply to those people. The reason is that in that case, he's not defending his life. The person is rather running away. He followed him. The one who has the reward of if he kills you, you are a shaheed, is the one who is still in the process of defending himself. That is why he was saying that فَإِن مَاتَ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ فِي دَفْئِهِ أَن نَفْسِهِ فِي الْمَعْرَكَ. If you die while trying to defend yourself at the point of fighting with the person, that is when he says رَجَوْتُ لَكَ الشَّهَادَ. Not when the person is running away, now you follow him. There are two different rulings altogether. So he said, عَلَيْهِ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَإِن أَخَذَهُ أَسِيرًا. If the Muslim captures an amrabah, a thief, a rapist, and all this set of people, فَلَيْسَ لَهُ أَنْ يَقْتُلَهُ, it is not for him to kill him. He should not kill such persons. وَلَا يُكِيمُ عَلَيْهِ الْحَدَّ, and it is not, وَلَا يُكِيمَ عَلَيْهِ الْحَدَّ, and it is not for him to do what? To say, oh, any person who steals rubu with dinar, we should cut his hand. So he put his hand and cut him. Like what is happening in most part of, especially Lagos and most part of the country. If a thief is caught in some part of Lagos, no thought. They just put him, put a tire on him and burn him on the ground. A Muslim should not partake in that. The ones who partake in that have killed a person. In the Sharia, they will be arrested for killing somebody. It is not their right to carry out hard legal punishment. Someone say, oh, somebody wants to overthrow, a'udhu billah. Someone wants to overthrow a government. And then somebody says, yes, he caught those people. He wants to overthrow God. He kills him. What do you think the government will do? They will arrest that person who has killed that person. Even if it is possibly true that that person actually wanted to overthrow the existing government, they will arrest that person who killed the person. And they will not sue him for any other than murder. They will sue him for murder. Because as far as that government is concerned, they are not aware of a case of mutiny. The case they are aware of is a case of murder. So a Muslim should not participate in things like that, mobbing, robberies. If they have been given the responsibility, let's not forget, by the government to do that, to arrest robbers. When you arrest such persons, you take it to the police. And that's what the Imam said, alayhi rahmatullah. The first person's jihad should not be carried out on them. Don't cut their hands. Don't remove their eyes. Don't cut their tongues. Don't cut their ears. It is possible that if he is arrested, he can be sentenced to prison 20 years. And when he comes out after 20 years, he becomes a better Muslim than you are. Al-Imam Fudayl ibn Iyad, the people who are Sufis, they don't have a greater person they refer to in the history of Islam like Fudayl ibn Iyad, even when he was not a Sufi. But Fudayl ibn Iyad is from the greatest scholars of Islam. He started learning Islam at age 38 years old. Before 38, he was a robber, an armed robber. Fudayl ibn Iyad. What changed him? He was climbing the fence of somebody in the midnight to go and rob the person, and the person was performing salat to tahajjud in the midnight. The person was reciting the verse in Surah Al-Hadid. أَلَمْ يَعْنِنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْ تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَكِّ وَلَا يَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِ فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْعَمَدُ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَكَثِيرٌ مِنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. He came down from the fence. He said, "This today I have stopped robbery." And he became one of the greatest scholars of Islam. He died at about age 76. Look at, between 36 and 76. How many years was he busy trying to be close to Allah? So if he had been killed, because he climbed the fence of someone else, he had been killed by just any person. So in Islam, the verse meant that, "Alam ya'ani alladhina amanu," is it not time for those who believe in Allah, "an takhsha'a qulubuhum li dhikri Allah," to busy their hearts with the reminder of Allah, "wala yakunu kalladhina utul kitab," so that they do not behave like those people who are given the books by Allah. "Fatala alayhimul amad," they abandoned the books and time was going. "Faqasat qulubuhum," their hearts became hard. "Wakathiru minhum fasiqun," many of them were sinners. So message came to them, they abandoned it, they were wasting time, "we'll come back later, we'll do it later." They were doing what they wanted and their hearts became hard and they were sinners. So he said, "time has come for me to change." The person was performing tahajjud, that verse, he did not know the impact on Fudayl ibn Iyad. So Fudayl narrated it. He was an armed robber before. So that person you want to kill because he stole a shoe. You want to kill him because he stole a pair of shoes. If you take him to government and he is given 10 years in prison, he can come out and be better than you. So why not give him the opportunity? So you want to cut that off and the Sharia has not given you the chance. So the Muslim are those, even in war, Allah says, "Wala ta'tadu." When he's talking about war, he says, "Wala ta'tadu," don't exceed boundaries. "Inna Allah la yuhibbul mu'tadin." Allah does not like those who exceed boundaries. So regarding these matters, let us know our boundaries. Let us know our boundaries. It's very important. Because it will make Allah help us over those people. But if you want to take the matter on your own, Allah will leave you with the matter. And you will not be able to control it. But if you want Allah's help, don't exceed his boundaries. If you exceed his boundaries, he will leave you or face the matter. And this is evident in many issues Muslims face. We like to face the matter as we think, not as our Lord says we should face the matter. And then he will leave us. You want to face it. I will not be able to resolve anything. Look at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he was coming to Mecca for Hajj, they prevented him at Hudaybiyah. The Muslim, Umar radiallahu anhu, was asking that, "Are we not Muslims?" The Prophet said, "Yes, we are Muslims." "Are we not? Is it not that Allah promised us victory?" "Say yes, Allah promised us victory." "Why are you saying we should go back to Medina when we want to go and perform Hajj? Let's go and fight them and kill all of them." You know, Umar ibn al-Khattab. Radiallahu anhu. The Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Allah wants us to go back to Medina." People were going for Hajj and they had to go back to Medina. What did he say, subhanahu wa ta'ala? "Laqad sadaqa Allahu rasulahu ru'ya bil haqq." Allah gave them confidence that, don't worry. What you envision, Allah has made it to become a reality. "Latadkhulunna," don't worry, tomorrow or next year, "latadkhulunna al-masjid al-harama insha'allahu aminin muhallikina ru'usakum wa muqassirina la takhafun." Allah gave them confidence. He gave them hope. And they entered Mecca as, they did not kill one person in a war. about 11 people that were killed at the Hudaybiyah Fath Makkah, they were people who were running away and they had committed sins that they must be killed. So the Prophet listed them. There were about 11 that he listed, alayhi salatu wasalam, that they should be killed. Not that those people, 11, were killed in a war. They entered the war free. They entered Makkah free, no problem. But Umar was saying the year before, 2 years before, that no, no, we must go in now. Allah said, no, go back to Medina. You have the reward of Hajj. Shave your heads. When even the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, told them to shave their heads, they didn't want to shave their heads. They said, no, we want to go and shave our heads in Makkah, fighting. In the end, the Prophet didn't say anything. He started shaving his heads, and they followed him and shaved their heads. Alayhi salatu wasalam. In the end, anyway, they returned to Medina. What we are saying is, because they followed the injunctions of Allah and His Messenger, when they are now coming back to Makkah, they didn't need to fight a war. Because they followed the injunctions of Allah. If they are saying, no, how can we go back? We are going to fight Makkah. They may fight the war and not still win. But Allah said, don't worry, go back to Medina. They even say, you should counsel Rasulullah in his name. He said, where is the Rasulullah? Show me. He's here. Say, counsel it. Ali Radhiallahu Anhu say, me, I can't use my hand to counsel that you are Rasulullah. The Prophet said, show me where it is. So acting upon the dictates of Allah and His Messenger, it brings about the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in areas that we do not expect. But when you exceed the boundaries, Allah will leave you. You want to do your own Nabi? Do it and let's see. May Allah preserve us from that. So it's not to do that. If you capture him, don't kill him. Don't cut their hands. Don't stone them to death. Don't burn them to death. What you should do, he says, وَلَكِنْ يَرْفَعُ أَمْرَهُ إِلَىٰ مَنْ وَاللَّهُ اللَّهُ فَيَحْكُمُ فِيهِ. He's going to refer the matter to those that Allah has placed in the place of authority, and they are going to rule accordingly. They are going to rule. That is your own job. Okay, some people can say they used to free them. That is not your own. Your own is hand them over to those people. And you get the reward up to that. Whether the freedom is something else. فَلَهُمْ لَكَ مَا لَكَ وَعَلَيْهِمْ مَا عَلَيْهِمْ. You have your reward, and against them is what is against them when they don't take those responsibilities. What about when they take about responsibilities? So فَأَقُولُ مَا أَقُولُ هَذَا وَأَسْتَكْفِرُ اللَّهِ وَلَكُمْ. I expect that inshallah the point is clear. It's a very lengthy point. But we try to go through it. It says, وَكِتَالُ النُّسُوسِ. Very lengthy. I would not like to go on reading it again. But I just hope that we understand it, inshallah. If there's any point in it that we didn't understand, we can ask and we'll try to explain as much as we know, inshallah. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ameen. Alaykum as-salamu wa rahmatullahi. Well, the case must be based on two things. Imma yakin or zannu rajih. Imma yakin, that he's sure that they will come. They have the root letters in places. Auzubillah, may Allah not make us experience it. It's not usually a very easy thing. You see what we are saying now? It's not a very easy thing to practice. Wallahi. But if one is able to do it, that is what Islam requires of him. Not being able to do it is from the proofs of doubtful iman. May Allah make keep us strong at its time. So if it is based on yakin that they have told them that in the, all of you in the, on this line, we are coming to meet you, auzubillah, may Allah save us from that. And it means he has to be ready too. Because that's some level of yakin, some surety that they are going to come. And that is how they behave. It's more than one in that case. But if it's in a case that he's just thinking that the way it is going, they are coming there, then it has to, if those people also have things like that. Do you understand? If they have something like that, then it has to come in too. It's not, it should not be sporadic, because sporadic can be injurious to somebody. It should be directed. But perhaps maybe on the feet or anywhere. But if you direct it on the feet and it hits him in his stomach and he dies, you have not intended to kill him originally. But and if you cannot disarm him except you really intend at him, then you should intend at him. So the matter is as it comes. If you have your kin that they are going to come, you have to start defending them. If you have Zonoraji defending yourself, if you have Zonoraji also that it is most likely that they will come, you don't also have to wait. Because Zonoraji yu'mal bihi. Zonu Rajesh yu'mal bihi. Zonu Rajesh is most probable thing. It is acted upon in the Sharia. Tufidul ilm, the scholars of Usul mentioned that. Zonu Rajesh yu'mal bihi. Ahyanan they say Tufidul ilm. It's acted upon, it's taken as knowledge too. So you not say no, it's Zon or Shak, no. Because it's most preponderant that they are likely to come. So in these two cases, then one of course must. And then there is the issue of Jar. There is the issue of the neighbor, helping your neighbor out. So it may not be you in terms of you as a person. If it's your neighbor, you have to help him too. And perhaps, you know, you can't do it all alone. Maybe we had cases in Lagos where people come in a damn full bus. In fact, a brother told me an incident someday. I was so scared. 65 or 70 came on the street. They had come earlier, they were fought. They ran away. Three of them were killed, two of them were arrested. They now came the next week. Even the when they were coming, they wrote a letter that they are coming that day. They were, according to the brother, about 65. All of them carrying weapons. So now, you say it is the neighbor that they went to, you will leave your neighbor. Especially you have a gun too. You are not going to leave your neighbor. You are going to also try to do whatever you can do to help him in the case. It's very important that the Muslims understand this. You are not going to leave him and say, oh, it's not me. No, it's you too, because he has the haq of jar to you. And no harm comes to your neighbor and you leave him like that and say, oh, it's my neighbor. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Jibreel came to me and started saying, al-jar, al-jar, al-jar. Neighbor, 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 until I was thinking that the neighbor will be sharing from our inheritance. He was saying, your neighbor, your neighbor, your neighbor. Until I was thinking that Allah will say the neighbors too should be sharing from inheritance. So these things should be understood like that. Allahu A'lam. Alaykum As-salam.
The last question is, what is the difference in the ruling of handing over a captured armed robber to the police?
Well, the police and the hadith on them, the hadith condemns their brutality. It does not condemn the establishment of a group of people who enforce law. Because law enforcement is one thing, fighting war is another thing. The army, their own basic responsibility is war. And things that has to do with them. They only use them to enforce law when the law enforcement agencies, quote and unquote, are unable to quell the situation. And even in the history of Islam, it had been like that. Hajjaj bin Yusuf was a soldier. When the people of Kufa became arrogant, that was when they made Hajjaj the Amir of Kufa. And as the Amir, he went to the Minbar, like accepting to be the leader. He said, oh, you people of Kufa. He only told them three things. Hajjaj bin Yusuf, as a soldier, he told the people of Kufa three things when he became the Amir. Say, oh people of Kufa, you are the worst creatures of Allah to me. As much as you disobey me, I will kill many of you. Hajjaj bin, it is documented, and Imam Ibn Kathir mentioned it in Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya. So, the police and the army, they are different. What the Sharia condemns about the police is their brutality, brutalizing someone. In fact, there's a hadith in Sahih Jami al-Saghir that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, for every beating like this, it will be accounted for on the day of Qiyamah, if it is based on zulm, if it is based on misjudgment and wrongdoing. Someone is being flogged illegally. It will be accounted for on the day of Qiyamah. So what the Sharia rejects is the brutality of the police. It does not reject policing and law enforcing. So if they are law enforcement agents and they are not soldiers, there's nothing wrong in the Sharia. It's established in the Sharia. Allahu alam. And also in the Sharia, these are different from people who fight wars. Even when it is possible that the duties can come intersect themselves sometimes. Allahu alam. Alaykum salam. We'll take this last question. Cool.
Try to establish the fact that shirk is the highest sin that is unforgivable in front of Allah. But some people try to equalize shirk and bidah and giving their reference to this one thing of shirk and that he said in Dana Allah, Zafako Bena Shirk wa bidah, that both of them are the same. So I want some clarification because, and if it means the same thing, does it mean that if somebody is established
well, the statement is being quoted out of context because that person quoting him knows that it is not that single statement he made. 3 days ago, yesterday, brother was telling me that in the UK he made some statements and some people went and picked those statements. One, and made a full audio with it, and we are playing it against him. He said, so the case got to the police, so he had to produce about 27 audios to the police. So that for each statement he made, the police had to hear what he said before and what he said after, so that to properly place the statement. For example, I was saying that I said now, in the process of explaining, to on top an existing government. Somebody can pick that and say, yes, go and play it in Abuja. There's one boy saying that, there's one man saying that the existing government should be upturned. So you have a duty to have to produce all these things so that, you are not talking about them even. You are talking about something else. So it will not be proper to just pick that statement and use it for whatever. What did he say before? What did he say after? It's important. So back to the issue is bid'ah shirk and is shirk bid'ah? Bid'ah cannot be shirk holistically, stricto sensu. But there are aspects of bid'ah that are shirk. When ulama say bid'ah is shirk, that's what they mean. Part of what they mean is that shirk came as a result of bid'ah. And generally, everything that was not in the deen before that was introduced is bid'ah. So when Allah created man, as is in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, in Sahih Muslim, that Allah said that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, Allah said that, إِنِّي خَلَقْتُ عِبَادِي حُنَفَاءَ, I created my servants as people who sincerely worship me alone. فَجَاءَتْهُمُ الشَّيَاطِينَ, and the shayateen came to them, فَاجْتَالَتْهُمْ عَنِ الدِّينِ, and they convinced them away from the deen. We know the story from the people of Nabi Nuh alayhi salam. So in this kind of a case, this shirk that they introduced will be referred to as a bid'ah, because it was something that is newly brought, considered as religion, which was not religion before. So when scholars discuss something like this, they can say bid'ah and shirk refer to it. But basically bid'ah becomes shirk if what is innovated is something that has to do with shirk. The bid'ah gets the ruling of the aspects of the ibadah that it affects. If it affects something that has to do with tawheed, with akidah, also to the extent to which it is affected, it will determine the extent of the deviation. Bid'ah is a deviation, and the deviation is to the extent of what is affected in the deviation. But to say every bid'ah is shirk and every shirk is bid'ah, it has no basis in the Sharia. And that is not what Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah said. He has a tape, Al-Bid'atu wal-Mubtadi'un. And even besides that, he has many other comments he has passed. So for the person to just take one single, two words or three words from a whole 90-minute tape, at least I know brothers who have over 7,000 audios of Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah, to pick three statements and say, yes, this is what Albani is saying, is being unjust and unfair to him. So that's not what they mean, and it does not mean that We discussed all these when we are talking about bid'ah at the beginning of these discussions, bid'ah and shirk and all this. كل ما أقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
What from amongst those things we must avoid, and such that avoiding them are from the foundations of our deen. He has mentioned them amongst those things that we must avoid, and such that avoiding them are from the foundations of the deen. And that is the issue of nifaq. Al-Imam Hassan al-Basri, alayhi rahmatullah. Al-Imam Hassan al-Basri was one of the tabi'un. He is from the students of the companions. In fact, it was said that his mother was a slave woman of Umm Salama radiallahu anha. And that when he was given birth to, he lived and grew up in the household of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even when there are narrations that indicated that Umar radiallahu anhu used to carry him on his hands. I mean, Imam Hassan al-Basri, alayhi rahmatullah, is from the tabi'un. And he has a hadith that he has reported regarding al-Masf al-Jawrabi, where he was mentioning, alayhi rahmatullah, that he met 70 amongst the companions of the Rasul, alayhi salatu wasalam. So no doubt he's from the tabi'un. Not only that, he's from the eminent amongst the tabi'un. And regarding this illness, regarding this disease of nifaq, the Imam said, alayhi rahmatullah, that ma khafahu illa mu'minun. There is no one that is afraid of nifaq except a mu'min. The one who is afraid of nifaq, fear here is in the sense that the dread ever having to be affected by it. Because sometimes fear regarding a sin can be fear as a result of somebody already committing a sin and is afraid of the consequences of the sin. But fear here is dreading the sin such that never wanting to have anything to do with it or things that lead to it. Never wanting the sin and never wanting anything that leads to it. So they avoid Ainu Nifaq itself, Nifaqul I'tiqadi, they avoid Nifaqul I'tiqadi. Not only that, all the other signs that the ulama refer to as Nifaqul Amali also, they avoid them. So they don't want to have anything to do with Nifaq. So they check on and on, on and on, on and on. So Imam Hassan al-Basri alayhi rahmatullah said, ما خافه إلا مؤمنون. There is no one who is scared of being affected by Nifaq except that he is a believer, because he will regularly check. His muraqabah will be very, very regular. That is personal checking. He will be checking all the time. Are these from the signs of Nifaq? Because from its signs, we shall mention some of them, inshallah. The signs can come upon a mu'min. A mu'min can fall into the signs of Nifaq, such that it begins to affect him gradually and gets spread in his heart, because it's a disease. And it's a disease that increases, like Allah said regarding them in Surah Al-Baqarah. He said, فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَهُمَ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. So it's a disease and it increases. So when a mu'min, may Allah save us all from this evil, falls into the evil of nifaq, it continues to increase as he increases in the nifaqul amali that we shall mention, inshallah. One of which is lying. إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبَ. So when he talks, he lies. وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ. When he promises, he does not fulfill the promise. وَإِذَا تُمِنَ خَانَ. When he is entrusted, he betrays the trust. So when someone begins to do any or all of these, he begins to get gradually into nifaq. Because in that case, his actions will be different from what he says. And by the time the disease continues to increase, it eats up his heart and it gets him, a'udhu billah, into nifaqul i'tiqadi if he's not very careful. So Imam Hassan al-Basri alayhi rahmatullah, he says, مَا خَافَهُ إِلَّا مُؤْمِنُونَ. No one dreads it except that he remains a mu'min. Because all of these minor things related in comparison to the bigger ones in nifaq, he will be avoiding them. He will have the care that, look, these are issues of nifaq. So he will start running away from them. So he says, مَا خَافَهُ إِلَّا مُؤْمِنُونَ. alayhi rahmatullah. Wala aminahu illa munafiqun. And no one feels safe from it except that it's a munafiq. No one feels he cannot ever be affected by nifaq except that he's affected by nifaq. But no one is scared that, look, there can be nifaq, and so he's careful except that he remains a mu'min. So this is what, and this is the disposition. And it's so spread amongst the people. It was reported that one day, Huzaifa ibn al-Yaman, Sahib al-Sirri Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one the Rasul alayhi salatu wa sallam used to tell about the secrets of events. He said in an authentic hadith, alayhi rahmatullah, wa radiyallahu anhu, Huzaifa ibn al-Yaman, radiyallahu anhuma, because himself is a companion and the father is also a companion. He said, I know everything that shall happen from now until the day of Qiyamah. Because the Prophet told him, he held a secret. The Prophet told him the secret. The Prophet will tell him, so and so will happen, so and so. He said, he told me everything between now and the last hour. So one of what the Prophet used to tell Huzaifa ibn al-Yaman were the munafiqun, their names. He used to tell them, this so is munafiq, this is munafiq, this is munafiq. So one day he was saying, alayhi radiallahu anhu, that Allahumma hlikil munafiqin. Oh Allah, destroy the munafiqs, the hypocrites. Oh Allah, destroy the hypocrites. So one of the tabi'un who was with him said to him that law halakal munafiqun, that were the munafiqun to be destroyed, law lastawhashtum min killati salik. Law halakal munafiqun lastawhashtum min killati salik. If the munafiqun were all to be destroyed, you will feel somehow, you feel tired, you feel alone, because all of those who will remain as pure and as clear believers, they will be few. This would mean that there is not any time that you find a company of Muslims, mu'minun, who truly believe in Allah, except that you find munafiqun amongst them. And that was why nifaq actually did not come into this ummah until the Prophet came to Medina, alayhi salatu wasalam, or until he started to get the victory and the Muslims started to have upper hands on the land. So this is how nifaq is. It's something that is dangerous and it's something that is generally widespread. He said, look, لو هلك المنافقون, we are all the munafiqun to be destroyed, لَسْتَوْحَشْتُمْ مِنْ قِلَّةِ السَّالِكِ, you will feel alone, because those who will remain on the path will be few. So it requires in that case that everyone is careful regarding it. And for this importance, Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal alayhi rahmatullah, as mentioned earlier, has included the issues that have to do with nifaq amongst the issues that the Muslims must take care of to preserve their Islam. So he said, alayhi rahmatullah, he said, وَالنِّفَاقُ هُوَ الْكُفْرُ. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal alayhi rahmatullah, he said, وَالنِّفَاقُ هُوَ الْكُفْرُ. That is number 45th point. He said, وَالنِّفَاقُ هُوَ الْكُفْرُ. أن يكفر بالله ويعبد غيره ويظهر الإسلام في العلانية مثل المنافقين الذين كانوا على عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He says, والنفاق هو الكفر. He says, and hypocrisy is عدم الإيمان, كفر, absence of إيمان. He says, نفاق, hypocrisy is absence of إيمان. And the hypocrisy, no doubt, that he describes here is the hypocrisy and nifaqul i'tiqadi, or nifaqul akbar, the worst of all aspects of nifaq. And that is the nifaq that affects the aqidah, that affects what the person ties. Al-aqidah is what is tied, something we tied. You know, that's why the nuptial knot is referred to as aqdun nikah. So al-aqidah is something that we tie, we affirm in our hearts, and we act based on them. So these are our aqaid. So when the aqidah is problematic when it is based on absence of iman. Yet there is show of iman. There is show of iman from actions, perhaps from speeches, but there is absence of iman in the heart. This is the case of nifaqul i'tiqadi. And that's why Imam Ibn Kathir alayhi rahmatullah and others amongst the a'imma who have actually defined nifaq, they will say it is ibtanul kufr. That nifaq is to put in the mind what is in the heart is kufr, absence of iman, disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, disbelief in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and disbelief in all the things Islam requires the Muslims to believe. Wa izharul Islam. And yet Islam is shown. So someone has in his heart that he does not believe, a'udhu billah, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the true messenger of Allah, but he's still behind him performing salah. The same messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam that he does not believe, he will perform salah and say, ashhadu anna Muhammada Rasulullah. And yet he does not believe that Muhammad is Rasulullah. So, and that's why you see that from the signs of the munafiqun is lying. Because he is saying ashhadu when actually la yashhad. So what he says is different from what he really believes. That's why Allah described them in Surah Al-Fatih. He said, يَقُولُونَ بِأَلْسِنَتِهِمْ مَا لَيْسَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. They will say with their tongues what is not in their hearts. So they will say, we'll go for jihad. But when the jihad comes, they will run away. And that was actually how they treated the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. In Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah told us about, we remember the case of Ahzab, that the Muslims were in Medina in large number, and people were coming into Islam. According to the scholars of history, they said Ahzab, the Ghazwa of the Confederates, the Battle of the Confederates, took place between the 6th and 8th year of Hijrah. So the Muslims were in Medina. And the Mushrikun, including the Jews and the Christians and every person, were disgusted with them. They did not like the Muslims. So they put hands together to come to destroy the Muslims. That's why they were called Confederates. They were Ahzab, the plural of his parties. So all the parties, the Mushrikun, the Jews, the Christians surrounding the Muslim world, came together to put out Islam, to ruin Islam, put Islam to ruin. So they came to attack the Muslims. And they did that without notice. So they gathered warfare, gathered all these. Some of these things should make us understand that Islam has a history of plots, being plotted against by its enemies. And perhaps being caught unawares by the enemies. And perhaps being attacked right on its land by the enemies of Islam. So Allah reminded us in the Quran, says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ جَاءَتْكُمْ جُنُودٌ فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ رِيحًا وَجُنُودًا لَمْ تَرَوْهَا وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا إِذْ بَصِيرًا إِذْ جَاءُوكُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِكُمْ وَمِنْ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ وَإِذْ زَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارُ وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرَ وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ. He said, هُنَالِكَ بُتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. Allah says, O you who believe, اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Remember the mercy of Allah upon you. إِذْ جَاءَتْكُمْ جُنُونَ. When these forces came up against you, فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ رِيحًا وَجُنُودًا لَمْ تَرَوْهَا. Allah sent upon them wind, وَجُنُودًا لَمْ تَرَوْهَا, and invisible forces. The angels came in defense of the Muslims, fought against the kuffar. And Allah sent winds again because their camps became destroyed. They were destroyed and they had to run back to Makkah and other places from where they came. He says, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرًا. Allah was seeing you. Everything you did, Allah sees and is aware of it. So Allah started to remind them, إِذْ جَاءُكُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِكُمْ. They came from above you, from upland and lowlands. وَمِنْ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ. And from places lower than where you are. وَإِذْ زَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارُ. The eyes we are looking at, subhanAllah, we are going to be perished. وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرُ. The heart trembles such that it wants to come out of its mouth. وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ ظُنُونًا. You thought many things about Allah. You were thinking, what will Allah do with us? Tazununa billahi zununa. Allah says, Hunalika butuliyal mu'minun wa zulzilu zilzalan sharida. This was a situation where the Muslims were tried and they were shaken in a very serious manner. You know, he said he will try them. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, Ahasiba an-nasu an yutraku an yakulu amanna wa hum la yuftanun. Wa laqad fatanna alladhina min qablihim. So these people were tried and they stood firm. They were thinking, what will Allah do? Sama wa'adana Allah wa rasuluhu illa. This was what the munafiqun says. See, وَإِذْ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. So the munafiq, the Muslims, Allah said, مَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. But for the munafiqun, they were saying that مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. See now, Allah said, we will succeed. Look at all these soldiers. How are we going to succeed against them? Look at all the forces. How are we going to succeed? We can't succeed. We can't. So Allah says, some of them were even giving, they say, مَا عَدَنَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. Allah says, وَإِذْ قَالَ الطَّائِفَةُ مِنْهُمْ يَا أَهْلَ يَثْرِبَ لَا مُقَامَ لَكُمْ فَارْجِعُوا وَيَسْتَعْدِنُ فَرِيقًا مِنْهُمُ النَّبِيَّ يَقُولُونَ إِنَّ بُيُوتَنَا عَوْرَةٌ. Allah said, وَمَا هِيَ بِعَوْرَةٍ إِنْ يُرِيدُونَ إِلَّا فِرَارًا. وَلَوْ دُخِلَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ أَقْطَارِهَا ثُمَّ سُئِلُوا الْفِتْنَةَ لَآتَوْهَا وَمَا تَلَبَّسُوا بِهَا إِلَّا يَسِيرًا. Allah said, these people, they came to the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam and said, look, Allah only deceived us, gurur. سَمَا وَعَدَنَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. His messenger only deceived us. Is it possible that someone actually and truly believes in Allah and then said Allah deceives him? Is it true? Is it possible that someone actually in his heart believes that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah truly? And then he says, "Gurur, ma wa'adana Allahu wa rasuluhu illa gurura." And then some of them went to the Rasul alayhi salatu wa sallam. Say, "Ya ahla Yathrib," and the companions, all people of Medina, "La muqama lakum farju," your forces and your power and your strength, you can't face these people. Look. You can't. So you don't have a stand in any way. So Allah says, وَيَسْتَعْدِنُ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ نَبِيًّا. And they started to seek excuse from the Prophet. إِنَّ بُيُوتَنَا أَوْرَى. Prophet, my house is exposed. They can come and attack my house. At the battlefront, you are giving an excuse to go back to the house. And the Muslims were on the battlefront. Allah says, وَمَا هِيَ بِأَوْرَى. Their houses were not exposed to danger. In yuriduna illa firara. They only wanted to run away. You know, Allah is alimu bima fi sudur. So when they actually were saying these excuses, they actually came. Those were actions. Izharul Islam. Is it not? The Muslims prepared with them. They came out with them. They went to the field with them. They were saying ashadu an la ilaha illallah with them. They were in the battle line with them. But when the forces came and the battle was getting nearer, they say, oh, look, we can't stay here. Our houses are exposed. And Allah says, وَمَا هِيَ بِأَوْرَى. The houses were not actually exposed. إِنْ يُرِيدُونَ إِلَّا فِرَارًا. They only wanted to run away. They only want a means. Let's give excuse so that we can run. So you will find out that nifaq is no other than the fact that people have in their hearts kufr and they show iman. They have in their hearts kufr and they show iman. They show Islam. They show Islam, they are Muslims, they pray, they pay zakah, they can go for hajj, they dress their teeth with golden and all these. That's what even Allah says about them. He says, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ تُؤْجِبُكَ أَجْسَامُهُمْ وَإِنْ يَقُولُوا تَسْمَعْ لِقَوْلِهِمْ كَأَنَّهُمْ خُشُبٌ مُسَنَّدَةٌ يَحْسَبُونَ كُلَّ صَيْحَةٍ عَلَيْهِمْ هُمُ الْعَدُوُّ فَاحْذَرْهُمْ. So these are the aspects of nifaq. So that you see somebody is dressed, beard, everything, it has not ended iman. What about the heart? What about the mind? What about the aspects of nifaq? Because it has gradation up and down. Nifaq, it has gradation up and down. The iman, even the one, the Muslims who have iman, the mu'minun, they have aspects. The more they get involved in issues that has to do with nifaq, the more the disease gets increased and bigger in the heart. So that's why every Muslim must take care of this aspect, regularly check himself. And that's why al-Imam, like we said, Hassan al-Basri, alayhi rahmatullah ibn Abi Hassan, was saying that there is no one ma khafahu illa mu'min wa ma aminahu illa munafiqun. No one fears being affected, being infected by the disease of nifaq, except that he will remain a mu'min, because he will be careful, taking the precautions. Even the companions feared it, like we said, they didn't want to have anything to do with nifaq. So al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal alayhi rahmatullah said, والنفاق هو الكفر. The nifaq is disbelief. And that is because truly in the heart of those people in whose heart there is nifaq, what is really, really in the heart is not Islam, but kufr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we look at Surah Al-Baqarah, some of the scholars have mentioned it, like Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim Al-Jawziyah. He has a book, Alamatul Munafiqeen. That's the title. And in it he was describing, he said, from what will make us know the evil and the danger of nifaq is that in Surah Al-Baqarah, when Allah spoke about the Muslims, he used only 4 to 5 verses. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنْزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنْزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ أُولَئِكَ عَلَى هُدًى مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. About 4 or 5 verses. What about the kuffar? 2. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَى سَمْعِهِمْ وَعَلَى أَبْصَارِهِمْ غِشَاوَةٌ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَلِيمٌ. Their case is easy. If you tell them, you give more izah to them, or you do not do more izah, لا يؤمنون. So because they would not believe, their hearts are sealed. Because of that, they are disbelieved. Allah sealed their hearts. Allah did not seal their hearts so that they would disbelieve. He sealed their hearts as a result of their disbelief. What about the munafiqun? He said, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ. Look at, they are not mu'minun that he described earlier, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are not kuffar that he followed the description of the mu'minun with. So he said, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. So there are amongst the people, they are going to say with their mouth, آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ. We believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. And we believe in the last day. But وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. Because Allah saw their hearts. He said, actually they do not believe. So يُقَادِئُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ. So this is the way of the hypocrite. And then on for about 13 or 14 verses, he was describing their situation. Allah was describing their situation. And from it is that, وَإِذَا لَكُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَّا وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَى شَيَاطِينِهِمْ قَالُوا إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْتَهْزِئُونَ. So when they are with the Muslims, they say, don't worry, we are together. We are together. We are together. They pray as the Muslims pray. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, the leader of the Munafiqun at the time of the Rasul, alayhi salatu wasalam, he had that hatred in his heart for the Rasul, alayhi salatu wasalam. Because he was to become a king among the Aus and the Khazraj. So when the Prophet came, alayhi salatu wasalam, and the people became Muslims, he was dropped as a king. Because the Prophet is coming with Wahyu, alayhi salatu wasalam. And it is not possible that he was under anyone, alayhi salatu wasalam. So he was dropped as a king. So he had that hatred in his heart for the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. And that's why from the manifestations of nifaqul i'tiqadi is bughdur rasul, alayhi salam, to hate the Prophet Muhammad. There are Muslims who are seen as Muslims, even today, that when the Prophet ﷺ is described, they have hatred for him. They have hatred for his personality. For whatever reason the case, for whatever reason. Some people hate that their trousers go below their ankle. But at the time, when Michael Jackson wore trousers that went below the ankle, they wore trousers that went below the ankle, that went above the ankle, just because it was Michael Jackson. So for the love they had for Michael Jackson, they loved everything that was associated with Michael Jackson. So that is their show of love for Michael Jackson. So, but in their show of love for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are certain aspects of the life of the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam that will be mentioned, and they hate it. It is from Nifaqul Itiqadi. Let's mention this. Because they are thinking that the negative attributes is from the less exposure of their intellect. You know, when the intellect is not vast, ulama refer to that as dayyiqul ufuq. Their conceptualization of matters is constrained. They are parochial in their thoughts. They don't have an expansive worldview. So things that are supposed to be positive aspects of human attributes, they consider them as negative aspects of human attributes. One of them is the fact that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam went through all of his wives in the night, alayhi salatu wasalam. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, one of those who used to serve the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, and was with him for about a period of 10 years, would say that we used to say about, the Prophet would go from one of his rooms and then to another of his wives and then to another of his wives and then to another of his wives. That they used to speak of it as the from the Rajula of the Rasul alayhi salam, from being a man of the Rasul alayhi salam. The Prophet was a man. And that's why he would say, "Kul innama ana basharun mislukum." He was a man, alayhi salatu wasalam. So he had attributes of men. Some men, because of their inabilities, even a wife they had, they can't even satisfy the woman. One wife, they can't even satisfy the woman. The Prophet would satisfy 11, alayhi salatu wasalam. 11, 1, 2, 3, one night. So he was really a man, alayhi salatu wasalam. And of course, even the physical attributes of the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, he was a man. Because he was set, he was described with thick bones and broad chest. Alayhi salatu wasalam. He had thick bones and broad chested he was. He can't be said to be tall and he can't be said to be short. So he's in between. He's not a tall person such that he can say he's tall. And he's not a short person such that he can say that he's short. And Ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he said, "Ma ra'aytu mislahu." I've never seen anything as handsome as the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. That it was, when you look at his forehead, it was as if the sun was there from the brightness that comes from his face. So he was described with manhood and he was completely a man. Because for some men, you only look at them in the face, they appear like men. But actually, when it really comes to what a man is, they fail. In this battle of Ahzab that we described, the Prophet himself was digging as they dug the trench. The Prophet was digging. The battle is also called Ghazwatul Khandaq. As they dug the trench, the Prophet was digging also, alayhi salatu wasalam. And brothers, if you have the opportunity to visit the area where this battle took place, they were hard rocks. They are very hard rocky areas. And the Prophet himself took part in it. He was really a man. He was really very strong. What we are saying is, the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will go around his wives is the reason why some of the people have some hatred for the Rasul alayhi wa sallam. They say, look at the Prophet, look at this Prophet. In their hearts, especially, this is common amongst women. Things like this are common amongst women. So like we said, Al-Imam Hassan al-Basri alayhi rahmatullah, he said, the one who is afraid of nifaq is the mu'min. So if we have a woman who has that kind of a disease in her heart, she should start taking care of it before it increases, because Allah will make it increase if she's not careful and working on it. He says, "Fi qulubihim maradun fazadahum Allahu marada." So this disease is from what you find common amongst the people. So Ibn Ubay ibn Salul hated the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and yet he will stand behind him in salah. When Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, he says, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah too.
When the Muslims met us, you say salam alaikum, they agree. He is saying that to them too as a Muslim. But in the fact of it, in the real sense of the matter, he hated the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he hated Islam in that case. So this nifaq itself, the ulama say its punishment is worse than the punishment of kufr because of these two things that are involved. The first one is kufr. So in that, they are equal in punishment with kufar. The second one is the deception of the Muslims. Because you make the Muslims think that you are amongst them and you are not amongst them. So that is why he has an additional punishment together with the punishment that the kufar are to be given. So Allah says regarding them that إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ, that the hypocrites are going to be in the deepest. You know, the Jahannam is in Darakat, that is levels below. And that's why Al-Jannah is also in what? Darajat, levels above. So the Jahannam is in Darakat. So he said, the darkil asphal, in the deepest part of Jahannam. May Allah save us from this evil. So it implies that it is real kufr. It is kufr and below it. Kufr and then other things. May Allah save us from this evil. So Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal alayhi rahmatullah, he says, وَالنِّفَاقُ هُوَ الْكُفْرُ. So this nifaq, hypocrisy, is kufr itself. Is adamul iman, absence of iman in the heart. And that's why even when the lexicologists explain from where the word nifaq was brought, it is brought from a word called an-nafaqa. The nafaqa is, we have some animals like close to rats. So when they are in their holes, they don't dig a single hole. They have two holes. So if you pursue it from here, it will come out from here. If you pursue it from here, it will come out from here. That is from what the word nifaq was picked. So ulama say the munafiqun will come into Islam in a manner, performing salah, saying with their tongues, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. From some manner it's Islam. But from another manner, they go out of Islam because of their hatred for Islam and other things that we shall mention that has to do with aqidah as far as nifaq is concerned. So they go in between the two. Summa amanu, summa kafaru. So they have two holes. One with which they come into Islam, so to speak, and the one with which they go out. The one with which they come out, and the one with which they go out. So as they come out, they go out. So he says, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, مُذَلِّذَبِينَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ لَا إِلَهَا أُولَٰئِ وَلَا إِلَهَا أُولَٰئِ. So they are not here nor there. They run in between the pole and the post, from one point to the other. So that is from where the word itself, nifaq, was picked. And a nice word it was. Some of the scholars even say that this the word munafiq itself did not occur before Islam. Because there was no truth to that anyone wants to have in his mind to show other than truth. The people who existed, they were known, who were not included amongst the mushrikun, they were known. They did not hide it. They did not hide the fact that they are not conforming to the status quo of the worship of other than Allah. People like Abu Bakr and Siddiq, radiallahu anhum. They were known that these people are not conformists, and others amongst those people who lived at the time. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal alayhi rahmatullah, he says, وَالنِّفَاقُ هُوَ الْكُفُرُ. So he defines it, he says, أَنْ يَكْفُرَ بِاللَّهِ, that someone disbelieves in Allah, he does not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَيَعْبُدَ غَيْرَهُ, and then he worships other than Allah. It may be himself, it may be an idea, it may be anything that he worships. So someone does not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and at that, وَيَظْهَرَ الْإِسْلَامَ فِي الْعَلَانِيَةِ. So in his open affairs, in his the things he does with the people, يَظْهَرُ الْإِسْلَامِ, he shows Islam. So when there is a matter, they say, don't worry, we are here, we defend Muslims, we are the leaders of the Muslims, but actually they are the haters of Islam. This is common in the community. One of those who have written on this matter was saying that from amongst those that these attributes are common are those who are known with siyasa. Not siyasa to shari'iyya al-islamiyya, not the politics of guiding and taking care of the affairs of the Muslims. Because this is known and it's established in the Sharia. The leaders of the Muslims take care of the affairs of the Muslims based on the dictates and the rulings of the Sharia. This is known and it's established in the Sharia. It's called siyasa too, because siyasa is from management and administration. But when it comes to what we know as siyasa, these things are common. You have opportunity, you meet people who will say to you that they can lie 20 different kind of lies for different kinds of people. So they say, we'll do this. They know in their hearts that they are not going to do it. So those are from the aspects of nifaqul amali. Nifaq that has to do with their action. That when it gets so, they get so used with it, as we shall come to know inshallah today, when they get so used with it, it becomes nifaqul i'tiqadi. So they begin to really, really hate Islam and hate aspects of Islam. So they will say to them, don't worry, we are going there because of Islam. Our aim is Islam. Our this is that. But when they go there, right from when they make those statements, they knew in their hearts that they didn't have anything to do with Islam. All they had in their hearts is their pockets and whatever personal benefits they will make from it. So this is from aspects of nifaq. So yazharul Islam fil alaniya. So he defines it and says, and yakfura billahi wa ya'buda ghayrahu. That someone disbelieves in Allah and worships other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَظْهَرَ الْإِسْلَامَ فِي الْعَلَانِيَةِ. And the person shows Islam publicly. It says, مِثْلُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ الَّذِينَ كَانُوا عَلَى أَحَدِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Like the munafiqun who lived at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And this is something that is very, very dangerous. They were people that Allah hated. And he described them in very, very negative aspects, attributes. Like Ibn Ubay ibn Salul, who was the leader of the Munafiqun at the time of the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. When he died, the Prophet wanted to make salah for him. He wanted to pray the salah of Janais. And Allah prevented him from doing so. And they are from the people that the ulama say that Allah will not forgive them until they leave their nifaq. He says, استغفر لهم أو لا تستغفر لهم. إن تستغفر لهم 70 مرة فلن يغفر الله لهم. If you seek forgiveness for them 70 times, Allah will not forgive them. Because they are munafiqun. In fact, in many cases, they will not come to meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for istighfar. So that they can repent and leave their hypocrisy. So Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal will go back to it. He says, وَالنِّفَاقُ هُوَ الْكُفْرُ. So the nifaq is disbelief. That is, أَنْ يَكْفُرَ بِاللَّهِ وَيَعْبُدَ غَيْرَهُ. That someone disbelieves in Allah and worships other than him. وَيَظْهَرَ الْإِسْلَامَ فِي الْعَلَانِيَةِ. And yet the person shows Islam in his public outlook. مِثْلُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ الَّذِينَ كَانُوا ala ahdi rasulillah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like the munafiqs who lived at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of them, this hadith was reported by Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, and al-Imam Muslim rahimahullah mentioned the hadith, quoted the hadith in his Sahih Muslim, that one day they were coming from a journey with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then there was a strong wind. Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari radiallahu anhuma was saying that the wind was so strong that a person riding the camel could be brought down on the camel by the wind. And then the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that bu'isat hadhihi ar-rih li mawti munafiqin. Bu'isat hadhihi ar-rih li mawti munafiqin. This wind, this strong wind was raised because a munafiq died. Why? Ulama say it was raised in annoyance, in show of annoyance, that look, you are in it. You are in trouble for dying. For dying, you are in trouble. So for this, and to indicate the evil of being a munafiq, so the Prophet made the statement, alayhi salatu wasalam, that bu'isat hadhihi ar-rih limawti munafiqin. This wind was raised at the death of a munafiq.
So this makes us understand that nifaq, the munafiqun who were at the time of the Prophet, they are from the worst of the munafiqun you can have. From the worst of, one of them died and the earth rejected him. Yes, the hadith is authentic. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu mentioned the hadith that someone was with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at that. وَهُوَ مِمَّنْ يَكْتُبُ الْوَحْيَ لِلرَّسُولِ. He was from amongst those when the verse of Quran was read, he would write it down. He would write it down. So he left Islam. Actually, he didn't have Islam in his heart. So he left and went to the Kuffar, the Christians, and was with them, joined with them, and joined with them, and all this. So Allah caused it that he died amongst them. So he was buried and the earth would reject him. He was buried and the earth would reject him. He was buried and the earth would reject him. Anas bin Malik said, radiallahu anhu, that when that continued, the Kuffar left him like that and went away. The people with whom he sought alliance, leaving the messenger of Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And yet he was saying, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah before. So that's why everyone has to be careful. Is there a pious deed that can be like writing wahyu when writing revelation? It's from the best of deeds. So that's why nobody should stay, like Imam Hassan al-Basri said, alayhi rahmatullah. He says no one feels safe from nifaq except that it's a munafiq. And no one fears nifaq except that it's mu'min. So no one should feel safe that it can't be me. It was reported that one day Abu Darda radiallahu anhu was making nawafil. Huwa kana yata'awwaz min an-nifaq. So he was making isti'aza, praying that Allah should save him from the evil of nifaq. So someone said to him and said, after Taslim, that Masha'anuka wa sha'anu nifaq. What concerns you at nifaq? You were making salah, making Allah save me from the evil of nifaq. Allah save me from the evil of nifaq. Why are you saying, what about that? And Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said, Allahumma gfirli. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me. Three times. And then he said, radiallahu anhu. He said, La tamanul bilad. All of the land is not safe, should not feel safe. So wallahi, inna rajla la yuftatanna fi sa'atin wahidatin fayanqalibu an dinihi. A man can be tried in one moment and then he drops all of those good deeds. The companions were scared. The Imam would be one moment. So he hated kufur, he loved iman and all this. In one moment he tried, he turns opposite. We remember Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha, one of the most beloved of the Rasul alayhi salam. The Prophet loves her so much. And she loved the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, radiallahu anha. So when the Prophet came to Medina alayhi salatu wasalam, she carried her son and said, be serving the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Being the service of the Prophet. Let's put it in another manner. Be the house boy of the Prophet. A woman gave the Prophet her son, that the son should be the house boy of the Prophet. The husband she had initially, and she was said to be a very beautiful woman, Anas bin Malik. The mother of Anas bin Malik, Umm Sulaym. She was said to be a very beautiful woman with very nice genealogy. She was a man every woman would like to have. She was a woman every man would like to have. Radiallahu anha. The first husband she had, he became a Muslim at the time of the Rasul. Alayhi salatu wasalam. When the prohibition came that Allah said, إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسُرُ وَالْأَنْصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْزٌ مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ. And alcohol was completely prohibited. He said to Umm Sulaym that, look, this your prophet is now prohibiting alcohol. Me, I can't do without alcohol. He left and went to Sham and died there as a kafir. So this is why the companions were a group of people. Ibn Abi Mulaika, rahimahullah, one of the tabi'un, he said, alayhi rahmatullah, that adratu thalathina min ashabi Muhammad. I met 30 amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad. This kulluhum yakhafu an-nifaq ala nafsihi. Kulluhum yakhafu an-nifaq ala nafsihi. I met 30 companions of the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Each of them was afraid of nifaq for himself, such that people like Umar radiallahu anhu go to Uzayf ibn al-Yaman and ask him, did the Prophet mention my name? So when he says no, he didn't mention any name, say, but after you, I'm not assuring any person. Uzayf will say, so radiallahu anhu, after you, I'm not assuring any person. So it is something that every Muslim must fear for himself. The speaker must fear for himself. Listener must fear for himself. Hearer must fear for himself. Seer must fear. Everyone must fear for him or herself. The evil of nifaq. May Allah save us from the evil of nifaq. This nifaq that throws people out of Islam, may Allah save us from it, is so great an evil that on the day of Qiyamah, when sujood is requested from people, they will not be able to make sujood. When the verse يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقٍ وَيُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ, this verse refers to the munafiqun. There's an authentic hadith in Sahihain, Bukhari and Muslim, that Allah will make the backbone of the munafiq to be stiff. The يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقٍ, the day that Allah will open his chin. Allah has a chin. His chin, Allah will open it for us. وَيُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ, and people will be required to make sujood, to make prostration. فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ, the munafiqun will